Well, we're thankful for our young folks around here. We got a, as you heard on the graduation notices, we got a lot of them coming on, and they had some, went to state competition here last week, I guess it was, the elementary choir, statewide come in second place. That was good, and we appreciate all of our young people serving the Lord, and we live in a day and time when that seems to be unusual, but I believe the promise of God, if we raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that we can claim His promise. Amen? Brother Parsons, that's high-tech stuff you're messing with there. I'll probably have to go down and fix it. See, what they're doing is trying to convert me to their way. That's not the right way to fix that. All right, we have a little fun around here sometime. Don't let that upset you. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Colossians. We do a little Bible study on Wednesday night. We'll jump into a little thought here. Good to see everyone tonight, but I believe we have a visiting missionary over here, right over here where Cheryl's at. Brother, you want to stand up real quick, tell us who you are, where you're a missionary to? China. All right. Okay, Ben. China's been a lot in the news. Would you go over and fix things for us? Are you working on it? Good to have you. Appreciate y'all stopping in tonight. Amen. Yeah, sure do. Book of Colossians. I want you to go to chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to jump in a little thoughts here, if you will. After we're saved, that's not the end. That's the beginning. We're still supposed to live for God and learn how to live in such a way to please Him and serve Him. And so it says in verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, if we do that rightfully, I guarantee you Christian life will be a lot more, have a lot more joy in it. You know what messes up believers, saved folks? They are often pulling against God instead of pulling with God. I ask you to drop on into chapter 3 a little deeper. Pick it up in verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, think about it a minute. Heartedly. You ever hear somebody say, well, his heart's not in it? I don't want to be crude here, but there used to be a little bumper sticker I liked, I don't know, several years back. Some of you will remember it. You pull up behind a car and it had a bumper sticker on it, and the message was not so much in print as it was in pictures. And it said something like this. Got to be careful with this. If you don't have your heart in America, the picture was a donkey, out. Now, that's my sentiments. And there'd be a whole big crowd leaving if I could have my sentiments. Amen. Our heart ought to be in our country, right? It ought to be in what's right. And wouldn't it make a big difference if Americans were pulling together instead of pulling against each other? Boy, what a difference that would make. The president's accomplished a bunch of things, but there's a crowd that wanted to defy the will of the American people, and they don't pull with him, they pull against him in every kind of way. And in spite of that, we've seen some victories, but my, would it be something if everybody was pulling together. Pulling together. There used to be a song, I really date myself when I do things like this, but Used to be a song went something like this, love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage. Anybody ever remember that one? All right, some of you old timers do. A marriage that pulls together is great. One that pulls apart, that's different, isn't it? It's good to see folks grow old and still stay in love and stay in harmony. It's a terrible thing to see that the war just increases sometimes. I think about the old couple sitting on the porch in the country, sitting on the farmhouse porch, and they'd been having a lot of trouble not getting along together, and the older they got, the more cranky they got, and, you know, it just wasn't fun anymore. And around the corner, the road came a couple of horses and wagon, pretty horses, and they were just in step with each other, just pulling together. And the wife spoke up and said, John, said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pull together like those two horses are doing? He said, we could if we only had one tongue between us. Now, most of you don't know what a tongue is, but we're talking about a wagon tongue. Not a wagon tongue, but a wagon tongue. Amen. Well, it is good to see harmony. And you know how you have harmony? You have to have your heart in it. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that tonight. What we're seeing in the pulling apart of America today, we're seeing an end time symptom that is getting worse, I think, all the time. When I say end time, if you know a little bit about the book of Revelation, you know it starts off in the first three chapters, and you've got the seven churches, remember? And, of course, some are better than others, and the Philadelphian church seems to be the best, but the last one is the Laodicean church. And it's got off the gospel, and it's on the social issues, it's on the society of things, and they think they're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing and don't know they're poor, wretched, and blind, according to the Word of God. And the end time thing is, the Lord said of that Laodicean church, He said, I were that you were hot or cold. They're lukewarm. And He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know, the Lord says, I'd rather see you hot or cold, not in the middle. And you know what our problem today is? Everybody wants to be in the middle and stand for nothing and do nothing, right, represent nothing. And that's the lukewarmness we're seeing today. What that means is it's half-hearted. Heart's not in it. Heart's not in it. We have to apply that to ourselves because we're all living in this flesh, and this flesh drags us down. And we have to watch it, or we'll start just going through the motions of serving God and not be fired up about it, not have our whole heart in it. And it can happen to all of us. And when we recognize it, we need to take steps and make efforts to get out of it and to get our heart burning again for the Lord. And that's an important thing. It's an end time symptom, this Laodicean, this lukewarmness bit. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember when the angels came down. You remember the fire and brimstone. You remember how they came down and drug Lot and his wife and daughters out. But you know what? They went half-heartedly, didn't they? And Lot's wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. You can go over there today in the Holy Land and go right in that area, the Dead Sea where it took place. And the guide will show you as you are kind of leaving the area, kind of beginning to climb up the mountain, leaving the Dead Sea. He'll show you a big pillar that is a pillar of salt. And he says, there's Lot's wife. Now you say, you reckon it could be? Well, it could be, I guess. But what it's showing you is somebody that didn't have the heart and leaving Sodom, leaving the world. We got a lot of God's people today don't have their heart and leaving the world. I mean, if God turned a few more into a pillar of salt, it'd be something. But the truth is, she didn't want to go. Somebody said that Lot's wife didn't want to, didn't have her heart and leaving Sodom because she left her heart in there, the worldliness. And she is a type and a picture in the Bible of the worldly Christian. And we have to watch out for that because in the flesh, The flesh will pull against the Lord instead of pulling with him. If we don't watch out, it'll happen. It is an end time symptom. And to hold back, be half-hearted equals defeat. A ball team without the heart in it won't win. An army without their heart in it won't win. We won't win in the Christian life unless we really have a heart in it. Somebody says, let's go soul winning. You say, well, no, your heart's not in it. You wouldn't say that, but that's the truth. We have a visitation time and nobody much shows up. I appreciate the young people going soul winning on Wednesday afternoons and all that. But if you don't get up for it, you won't do it. The old flesh will pull you back. No doubt about it. To hold back equals defeat. There's got stories in the Bible that back that up. How about King Saul? Remember the story on King Saul? Remember he started out right. He was head and shoulders above the rest of them. God picked him. But he lost his heart. He lost his zeal. And when Samuel the prophet came by and told him to go over and slay the enemy and not to take any of it, but instead he went and kept some of it back, didn't he? Kept the livestock back, the sheep. And when Samuel the prophet came and confronted him, he said, why didn't you obey the Lord? Well, he said, I did. And Samuel said, then what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep? He said, I'm hearing the spoil bleeding over there that you kept back. You know, those sheep kind of told on Saul. Your sin has a way of telling on you. It'll speak up when you don't want it to. I read the story one time about a young man got a job cleaning some lawyer's offices or what in a particular building. And this particular lawyer's office had a talking bird. I think it was a minor bird. A starling, they used to say they could split the tongue on the bird or something, and he could talk, you know, all that stuff. And well, let me ask you, how many of you ever seen a talking bird? I'm not talking about somebody. A real bird with feathers. We all have. I remember one time right over here near Cypress Gardens, I was working for a company, I was really young. I went in a big motel. The lady was in the office when I went in. I had some stuff to do in there. And she went out. I saw her go out. I knew the place was empty. But I'm working around and I heard this clear voice. I mean a clear voice. Said, hello. I looked. See nobody. And I went back to my job. I said, I know I heard it. But nobody's in here. Recklett said, hello again. I didn't see anything. Then it said this, what's the matter? Can't you talk? Now that got my attention. I set down what I was doing and I went looking. The lady came back in and I said, I heard somebody speak to me. She said, it's that bird over there. And she pointed in the corner. It was a big old minor bird. Sort of looks like a crow with an orange beak on it. That thing was talking probably clearer English than I can. But sins like that, it'll speak up on you. This boy was cleaning the lawyer's office, and the lawyer had seen him with his eye on his talking bird. And so he comes in, and the bird cage door's open, and the bird is gone. And the young man's about to leave, and the lawyer said, hey, wait a minute, where's whatever his name was? Polly or whatever it was. He said, I don't know. You hadn't seen him, no. The lawyer spoke up and said, hey, Polly, where are you at? He said, I'm in here. He was in the boy's big coat pocket. How many times has sin spoke up and identified somebody that was trying to hide it? It works that way. And if we don't have our heart in it, you know what it's going to do? It's going to show up. It's going to put the finger, as it were, on us. It's going to identify us. And we have to fight the flesh to not let that happen. You see, James warns about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, there's a sense we're all double-minded. We can have one nature get the best of us over the other sometime. And we have to watch that. We all double-minded in a way. Now, we may not want others to know it. We don't want others to know it, for sure. We may can hide it for a while, but pretty soon it'll show up if your heart's in it or not. You can't hide it very long. Whatever area you wanna talk about, you can only hide it for just a little bit. And we are good. We've practiced it all our life. We're good at kind of masking our feelings, disguising them, faking them. Speak to somebody and say, "How you doing?" Now, sometime I'm glad they don't tell me the truth, because to listen to the truth would take a long time. But most of the time we say okay or good or pretty good or whatever we want to say about it. But truth is, we're good at not letting folks know what we don't want them to know. But pretty soon, this thing of whether your heart's in serving God, living for God, it becomes apparent. It'll come apparent when it comes to giving to his cause. It'll come apparent when it comes to living a separated life. Too many folks, in a sense, want to be worldly and yet pretend they're godly. That's what hypocrites are made of. Did you know that? That's being a fake. That's pretending. And we gotta watch it on that. But if our heart's in it, it'll show up. If we're double-minded, we can hide it for a while, but pretty soon it'll show up. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks it. Says out of the heart, the issues of life. And so our heart is not talking about a blood pump. It's talking about the real us, the soul inside, the real personality inside. And the Bible tells us when we seek the Lord, we need to seek him with all our heart. In fact, if you go through your Bible, get you a concordance or something and look up the word heart and see how it's used over and over and over again. It's talking about the real you, the real me. And we can fake it for a while, but it'll show up. If you got something wrong, it has a way of working its way out to the outside. I think about the man that went to the doctor to get some help. And he told the doctor, he said, I'm just defeated, I'm depressed. Life is just not worth living. I just don't know what my answer is. And the doctor examined him and he said, "Well, mister, there's nothing physically wrong with you." He said, "You're actually pretty healthy." He said, the circus is in town. Said, "Why don't you go down? I hear they got a real funny clown down there. Go down there and have a few laughs and just kind of lighten up." The man looked at him and said, "Sir, I am that clown." Now think about it. You can paint up the outside. You can fake the outside. You can make other people laugh while you're hurting on the inside sometime. Now, you and I, if we're born again, know the answer. The answer is get back to the Lord. The church of Ephesus in Revelation was taught to get back to the first love. Told to repent, get back to the first love. What would it take with all of us to get back to the first love? Let me ask you, how much do you remember that first love? Do you remember when you got saved? You might not, like me, you couldn't quote John 3:16 when I got saved. But I knew something moved in here, something was different, and I had a victory I hadn't had before, and I was excited about that. The preacher couldn't preach a thing wrong. Everything he preached was just right then. Remember when that happened? Well, and then all of a sudden, it gets a little old, and you get a little tired of this or that or the other. When you feel that symptom, you need to try to find some remedy for it, and the best remedy of all, of course, is draw closer to the Lord, not run from him. The tendency of the flesh is to run from God. But the victory is getting closer to him. Not less prayer, more prayer. Not less reading the Bible, more reading the Bible. Not less church, more church. I'll admit, sometime you come to church and It's not as exciting as other times. But when you miss, that's probably the best one you had an opportunity that you missed. As a preacher, I sit up here sometime, and I know some folks' problems because I counsel and work with them and try to help them. And sometimes, maybe it's a visiting speaker or somebody else, just the best message in the world for them to help them, but they're not here. That breaks my heart when I see that sometimes. I've seen it over and over. And that's sad, the very thing they needed. The Bible says God chastens every son whom he receives. There is some time that God's got to correct us, and we're not supposed to resent that correction. We're supposed to admit it. And you've heard me say this before. When God is chastening, you don't run from him. You run to him. You get back closer to him. I was a little country boy on the farm, had two peach trees in the yard. Never had any peaches on them because mama stripped them for switches. They make good switches for kids. Anybody ever had a peach tree limb used on them? Raise your hand. All right, Brother Scotty, I see several of you. You know what I learned about that, though? Mother wasn't a big lady, but she could swing a peach tree. It felt like, when I was in about third grade, that I could run around the corner and that limb would come around the corner and pull me back. Now, I know it didn't, but that's what it felt like. And it would leave some stripes on you, which a whole pile of kids need today, no doubt about it. But I learned something about it. The further I got from mama, the more leverage she had, and the more that thing hurt. Best thing was come back and hug her. Just come close. Then she didn't have near as much leverage. Neither did she have as much heart when I was hugging on her. I think it might work similar with God. The more we try to get away from him, the more he's going to reach out and get us. We're not going to get away. And I think we also can work on his heart like I could mother's. Well, he wants to get right. And the truth is, we need our heart in getting close to the Lord. The double mind, it'll take us away. The flesh will pull us away. But as soon as we spot it, we need to start working at getting back right. And we got summer coming now, and I'm going to say some things probably in the next few messages concerning summertime. The Bible says be instant in season and out, don't it? I think that means in the hot Florida summers any other place, don't you? And it'll be real easy as we look around, that people's already thinning out, going up north, running from the hot weather. Something about a crowd helps us, and I understand that. But don't let the lack of a crowd defeat you. We know that when we come to church, if the Lord's there, that's all that counts, you know. That he and I are a majority in the real sense. Yeah, I certainly as a preacher, I'd rather see a building full than empty, no doubt about it. But God didn't leave town just because some folks went north. In fact, he's too smart for that, amen? All right, I'm playing with you there a little bit. The truth is, that's okay, but my being right with God don't really depend that much on other folks. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's my relationship personally with the Lord. And this summer, we'll all have to work on that. There's no doubt about it. But we want to do that and keep our heart, not be half-hearted in it. I'll tell you this, being half-hearted will never win somebody else to Christ. Amen. And you soul winners know what I'm talking about. You don't go out there and look sad and defeated and pessimistic and knock on the door and say, you wouldn't want to be saved, would you? That ain't going to work. Don't knock on the door and tell somebody about Jesus with your bottom lip dragging. They got a right to say, if it makes you feel that bad, why are you trying to give it to me? Right. The truth is, we need to be a little enthusiastic about it. Think about it a minute. You're just going to heaven where there'll be no pain, no rent to pay, no bills, no fussing family, no nagging wife or husband, not in heaven. Ladies, I'm going to be mean, but I heard this. I think it's Brother Phil Pitts that told me. I'm not sure. So if you don't like it, transfer it to him. I believe it was him. Husband and wife went to church and heard a sermon, and somewhere in the sermon, preacher was talking about no procreating in heaven, and maybe he said no marriage. So in the car on the way home, the wife said, "Do you believe that, no marriage in heaven?" He said, "Honey, that's why they call it heaven." That's Phil Pitts, I said. I believe it was Phil Pitts. Anyway, don't get excited just because you go into a place that's perfect. No sin, no pain, no disease, no hospitals, no... That's heaven. Now, if anybody in the world's got a right to have joy and be excited, that would be us. Man, you know, a man that's not saved, I don't care how much money he's got. I don't care how many objects he's got. I don't care what position of power he has. When he puts his head on the pillow just before he goes to sleep, he's still got to think, where am I going? And you can't have no peace if you don't know where you're going. It's just as simple as that. I heard about the airplane pilot left the cockpit. Plane was up high, been flying for a good time. And he spoke to the passengers. And he said, "Folks, I got good news and bad news." He said, "Bad news is we're lost. I don't know where we're going. But the good news is we're making great time." Think about that a little bit. There's folks going through this world just don't know where they're going. But they're making great time. They're speeding wherever it is. They don't know where. And you and I as Christians, just the opposite. We know where we're going. And we might be moving that way pretty fast, but that's okay. The destination's going to make it worth it. And so that ought to get our heart right on this thing. And the Bible warns us over and over that the issues of life come out of the heart. We find the Lord when we seek and search for Him with all our heart, the Scripture says. We need to be wholehearted about this thing of loving and serving God. Amen? The enemy of the gospel is just exactly what a lot of us have to fight all the time, and that's a pessimistic, bottom lip dragging attitude that don't help anybody. That's the enemy of the gospel. And you've heard this said, and it's true, we're only one generation from extension with the gospel being lost, and we've got a young generation today that's moving, making great speed away from the gospel. They've been brainwashed from the kindergarten on up through the college. And if you want to know why the nation's crazy right now, talking about socialism and everything else that we never would have believed before, those young people that are backing such things as this Cortez, is that her name, the Spanish girl that don't know which ends up. I'll get off on her, but I said the other day, she's as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. She don't know what she's up or down. But the trouble is, there's a pile of them out there agreeing with her and don't know what they're agreeing to. That's the craziest thing, just ridiculous. And the enemy of the gospel, though, is our youth that have not got their feet on the ground. Yes, they'll tell you they're saved, but they don't have the heart in it. They don't have the heart in it. Mom and dad made them go to church, and then they graduated. I'm speaking to some grads here tonight. I hope your relationship with God is stronger than just mom and dad making you come to church. Because there'll be a time nobody can make you, and then the real you will show up. real you will show up. And we see it. We see it in the midst of our own ministry. See it with others. And I want to do my best. And older I get, the more the flesh has got to fight me with. But I want to finish up like I started. I fell in love with Jesus when I realized he first loved me. When I realized my sins had been forgiven because he loved me enough to die for me, I fell in love with him. I'm as much in, really more in love with him tonight because I understand it better now than I did then. But there's just a whole pile of folks out there that's drifting further and further away and their heart getting colder and colder. And they've been brainwashed without even knowing there's some good answers. Not only good answers, biblical answers, right answers. Young people, listen to me. When they teach you evolution or something else, it's as false as it can be, and the answers is in God's Word. And it's amazing how, listen, just because you don't know the answer to something don't mean there is no answer to it. Somebody else may know it and can help you with it. But if you got real, right, wholehearted faith in God, you won't cast your faith aside. You'll, even if you're having to look for an answer, you'll still stay true with the Lord. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. God don't necessarily want us to know all the answers now. But he wants us to believe they're there and to believe in him and to trust him anyhow. That's what it really amounts to. Let's stay on the right side. I think it was the great evangelist D.L. Moody, I believe, is given credit for this statement. I believe he heard the statement made by somebody else that said, it yet remains to be seen what God will do with a man that is wholly surrendered to him. And Moody said, the best I can, Lord, I want to be that man. I want to be that man. I want to be sold out. He went on to say this, it may not take much of a man to serve God, but it does take all of him. Now, what does he mean by that? It means his whole heart needs to be in it. His whole heart needs to be in it. And that's true. We sang a song, old hymn, and some of the old hymns have such good messages in them because I think they were written by people that really knew God in most cases. There's a song we sang. Brother Bert might could even tell you where in the page, but it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Now that's what the flesh will have you do. There is that tendency. And we have to fight against it. We have to struggle against it. To have our heart, keep our whole heart in it. And to be sold out with our whole heart. That's what Jeremiah 29 says. We'll find him when we search with him with what? Part of our heart? No. Whole heart. Whole heart. Whole heart. Nothing, I said this earlier, but nothing stresses you more or stresses me more than being pulled two different directions. The world's answer is find a compromise. God's answer is get on the right side. Go with the right side. God's side is the right side. Aesop's fables or whatever they were called, one of them went something like this. Anybody ever looked at a bat? Not Batman, but a bat. You ever looked at a bat? Looked at him close. You know what he looks like? Looks like a flying mouse. Ever looked at one? Flying mouse. One of those fables says the bat came about because there's war between the birds and the animals. And the bat decided he wouldn't be on one side or the other. So he tried to be on both sides. So God struck him to where he looks like a mouse crawling with four legs, and he looked like a bird flying with wings. So he's half and half. He's a compromise. Now that's just a fairy tale story. But I've seen some folks that would fit the characterization of a bat. They won't get on the right side. They just kind of half on the fence this way and half on the fence that way. God don't like that. He wants our whole heart. Amen. And that's what he's talking about when he talks about a double man, minded man being unstable in all his ways. We got to fight it. But won't it be a wonderful day when the trumpet sounds and I'll quit pulling against myself? I'll quit being divided. I'll go up to be with the Lord in great harmony. No more struggle with the flesh. Wonderful day. That's going to happen. In the meantime, I may not win every battle with it, but I'm going to give it a fight. I'm going to do my best to stay on God's side of it. Let me challenge you as we come on the summertime and all that. Let's just stay true. Let's be instant in season. Let's keep our whole heart in it. Amen. I believe if we'll do that, God will bless us and help us. And sometimes God gives a victory in the most adverse circumstances where we couldn't figure it any other way, see how he could do it, but he doesn't. I think a whole lot of that has to do with us showing him our attitude first, that we're holy all the way on his side. Amen. Let me challenge you. Let's make up our mind now. Devil, you're not going to get the victory this summer. I'm going to stay faithful. Amen? All right, let's stand. Brother Hector, you want choir practice tonight, getting ready for Sunday. And we should have.